solicitor was a shock to many. But when Parveen glanced down, she was disconcerted to see the man wasn't poor at all. His thin legs were covered by black stockings, and his feet were laced into scuffed black leather brogues. The only place men wore British shoes and stockings with their dhotis was Calcutta, about 1,200 miles away. Calcutta, the city that would always remind her of Cyrus. As Parveen looked up, her alarm must have revealed itself. The man scuffled backward. "Just a minute. Are you seeking Mystery Law?" she called as he rushed across the street. Feeling perplexed, Parveen rapped on the door, which was opened moments later by Mustafa, the longtime butler in charge of Mystery House. The elderly man touched his heart and forehead in greeting before taking the tiffin box she'd brought with the day's lunch.
"Adab, Parveen Memsab," he said. "And where is your honorable father this morning?"
"He's got Jayanath's trial at the High Court. Mustafa, did you know someone was waiting in our doorway?"
He looked past her into the now empty portico.
"No. Where has he gone?"
"Across the street. He's the man wearing the dhoti."
Parveen saw that the man was now standing in the shadow of a building. Mustafa squinted.
"Although dirty, he isn't a beggar. Not with shoes."
"Shoes and stockings," Parveen pointed out.
"Had he knocked, I would have told him to come after 10. You are too busy first thing in the morning for such strangers. Although I saw no appointments in the book today."
Parveen noted the worry in his voice. Mustafa knew that it was a struggle for her to attract clients.
"I didn't book any appointments today because an old friend is sailing in from England. I'll meet her when she arrives."
"SS London?"
Parveen smiled. "You must have checked today's paper for the listing." The grizzled old man tilted his head downward, accepting the praise.
"Yes, indeed. I'll inform you when the London is unloading. And tell me, will your English friend come to Mystery House? I could prepare a small tea."
"I think Alice will go to her parents' home in Malabar Hill first, but perhaps she'll visit soon."
Parveen surveyed the marble foyer, which was softly lit by lamps and gilded sconces. She would relish showing the Bombay Gothic building to her friend, Alice Hobson-Jones. The 20-foot ceilings were a design feature of which Abbas Khayyam Mistry, her late grandfather, had been especially proud. It always seemed as if her grandfather were watching from the long portrait guarding the entryway. His eyes, as inky black as his flat-topped feta, were all-knowing but not warm.
"I've got a load of papers to work through upstairs. I hope Papa's back for lunch, because I've brought a very good one today."
"He must win at court, inshallah," Mustafa said piously, "or he won't have an appetite."
"He loses very rarely," Parveen said, although that morning's case would be a hard one.
Both she and Jamshedji had been quiet in the car coming in. He looking over his notes, she gazing out the window, thinking of their young client in jail a few miles away, wondering if this would be the day he was freed.
"Your father wins with his God-given ability to know the thoughts behind people's faces," Mustafa told her. "Mystery Saab can read the judge's face like a newspaper."
Parveen sighed, wishing she had the same talent. She had no idea if the stranger was a lost soul or harbinger of serious trouble. Putting the awkward incident aside, she trudged upstairs to address a half-done property contract on her side of the big mahogany partner's desk. Legal paperwork was sometimes numbing, but the subtlety of one word could mean the difference between a client's success and his ruin.